The Sound Girls' mission is to inspire and empower the next generation of women in audio. Our mission is to create a supportive community for women in audio and music production, providing the tools, knowledge, and support to further their careers. Sound Girls supports women working in professional audio and music production by highlighting their success and providing a place for them to connect, network, and share advice and experiences.
Greg Price is an audio engineer and live recording engineer and the owner of Martini Music and Diablo Digital. DiabloDigital.com. Go and check it out. You can find all sorts of things about what him and Brad Maddox are up to nowadays. Greg is the head festival sound engineer, designer, live recording guru for Ozfest for the last 23 years. His resume reads like a who's who of touring professionals. He's worked with Black Sabbath, Van Halen, ZZ Top, Bon Jovi, Foo Fighters, Kid Rock, Rage Against the Machine, and the list goes on and on and on. Welcome, Greg.
Hi there. Well, my bio is simple. I grew up in San Jose, California, Silicon Valley. My brother and I fell in love with music right away. We had the garage that my parents would let all the local kids play in. So we had the garage band. Now, this is 10 and 11 years old. I introduced my brother to drums. He became the drummer of Pablo Cruz.
Nice.
So this was a very fruitful time in the Bay Area. Of course, in the 60s, flower power. You know, him and I could go underage to greet Bill Graham and watch Led Zeppelin play, all right? So this is the beginnings of me, and we wore records out, so it was so natural for me to become an engineer. It really was. Against my father's wishes to become a stockbroker. And so just know this for all of your girls. To this day, people still go, and you make a living how?
I think my mom's still trying to figure out what I do after, 20 years of doing it.
I mean, the reason I bring this up is that we're talking six-figure incomes of a lot of folks in production.
Yeah.
And still to this day, you would walk into a bank to buy a house and they would go, yeah, not so much. Right?
Yeah.
So we're still got the diapers on is what the way I look at it. And patience, patience, patience. Because look, the banking industry is what, 1,000 years old?
Yeah.
So I'm not saying it's going to take us that long, but there is going to be generational growth as we go forward in our industry. So there's my bio.
I think some of our listeners, we're talking to Greg Price today. I think some of our listeners probably don't know who you are. I've been following your career for years, and Brad Maddox, and you guys own a company, Diablo Digital, together.
That's right.
And you guys do a lot of live recordings that's what your company is based on, correct?
That is correct. Realistically, we were talking about this the other day. We started doing this to record when digital consoles came out. Mm-hmm. This gave us once and for all, we had been recording prior to that, let's say on a Midas XL4. But it was very difficult to get record and playback so instantaneously in the analog era. When the digital era really finally came to the scene, we found that we could record our work on tour and play it back really just to work on our own mixes, to become better engineers, to be able to, I really would like to try that compression on this vocal, but I can't do it in the middle of a show.
Right, yeah.
So we found it a a watershed moment for us as engineers to really start working on our mixes and really try to adopt these studio quality or studio style things to our mixes. So Diablo Digital, Brad and I, we started building machines. What? And once I built one for myself, my pal came around and goes, "What is that? I gotta have one of those." So I built one for an engineering friend of mine and built another one for, you know, before you know it, we've got a company, we've got 75 machines. It's like that.
That's awesome. You record everything through Pro Tools, or do you do?
So I do like to use Pro Tools, and here's the reason why. So, you know that I've worked for Ozzy Osbourne for 23 years.
Yep.
First thing, Sharon comes up and goes, "You recorded everything. Well, we want to make a ringtone. We want to take the I from Crazy Train, and we really want to make a ringtone out of it. How do we do that?" So when I was recording, I found out right away that recording content, wherever you send it to, in post-production, they don't want to see a post-engineer in L.A. did not want to see anything else but a Pro Tools file. So even if I was recording on, you name it, Digital Performer, Logic,
right,
Reaper, every DAW known to man, when I had to send it into for production, they said, "We can't." Yes, we can take the audio files. They're WAV files, but they're lazy. They want a Pro Tools session. And all, it's not that they're lazy. Post-production time is cost money.
Yeah.
It's very expensive. And for me to do that legwork for them was a very cost-saving element. Right. Also, this allowed me a common ground to talk with all of the managers I've worked for to send mixes and recordings of every single band I've worked for the really the last... Since really, though, it really started when the Avid Profile came onto the scene. What was that, 2005?
Yeah, somewhere around there, yep.
When it came out and it was Pro Tools-centric, that the gloves came off. And I started making mixes and started handing them to the managers. And the next thing they know, the manager goes, "Hey, would you mind spinning up a mix of this? We want to hear what you can do." The next thing I know, I'm in the recording studio recording albums for Ozzy and Black Sabbath. And you guys know my history. I've done the last two live Black Sabbath records. The other thing I noticed that happened to me as an engineer, and I want all you girls to know this, it increased my value, not only on tour, but also how much money I was making, because now I'm a recording engineer.
Yeah.
So that's an added little extra bonus. Yes, you get paid weekly on tour, but guess what? Even while you're on tour, you can be spinning mixes up for your managers and for your band, and that's a little bit of added income. And then we started to realize Diablo Digital.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, we can start renting Dave Ratt machines.
Right.
But so then we started with all of the large sound vendors in our industry. So let's just back up a minute. I've always wanted to increase my net worth on tour.
Mm-hmm.
But then I've always wanted to increase my salary. How do we do that? Touring salaries have kind of plateaued, I want to think.
Yeah.
So how do we find extra value within ourselves in the touring space? You know, the next thing I know, Brad and I, we took the video from the video director a lovely lady who was video director on Black Sabbath. We took her video content and literally dragged and dropped it onto Pro Tools.
Yeah.
We spun up us and Brad and I together edited a version of War Pigs for Sharon to look at as a YouTube product. So here, these are the things that as front of house engineers or as engineers, we're on tour. Well, when we get back to touring.
Yeah. Yep.
But we're on tour. A video screen is up there. I don't care how it could be a small bar band and you got a video screen. They're recording that. That video is there for you to take. It's free of charge to just drop it onto your DAW, edit it, make up something, and submit it. All people can do is look at it and go, yeah, no, I don't like it.
Right.
They're not going to do that. They're going to go, oh, my God, you did this? Well, let's work together and let's change the edit. And guess what? The narrative starts, a conversation starts, and before you know it, you're in a post-production studio. You may not want to go there. Be careful what you ask for.
Was that a hard switch for you, being like a front-of-house engineer for so many years or monitor engineer?
Whatever? No, because if you look at my bio and my resume, and I want... You know, the resume is another thing for you girls to look at. When we send a resume out to a manager, it's got to be one page.
Yeah.
They want to look at you as a person on one page. They have so little time to really invest themselves into. And I really shy away from Facebook because Facebook can be a maybe a negative way to present yourself. It's a way that maybe a high-powered manager in New York looks at your Facebook page and goes, not so much. Mm. So I had a professional writer here from Silicon Valley write my resume. If I wanted to go to work for Google, I would send something like that.
Right.
Okay, so to make the transition... I started in the recording studio.
Okay.
Becky. Yeah, because if you look, it was Tom Dowd, who was one of the most famous recording engineers of all time. He tracked Steely Dan. He did Earth, Wind, and Fire records. So this is back in the 70s, and he taught me how to engineer on the analog. In the analog way.
Right.
Then I started making records with a fellow named Tom Dowd. And if we know Tom Dowd, he was a genius engineer at Atlantic Records back in the day.
Yeah. But
he recorded Aretha Franklin.
Yeah.
He recorded and mixed Respect.
Dude, that's mad respect right there.
Yeah. And he also did Layla with Eric Clapton.
Yeah.
You know, he used to call me kid, and I was already, I think, 35 years old. Anyway.
You got to cut your chops with some pretty cool engineers as far as that goes.
So I've always wanted to be a recording engineer. It just so happened that in that space, there was a glut of recording engineers in the 80s in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
And I was starving to death. So Steve Miller called me up and said, "Hey, I know you're not working. I need you to come and do my tour." And that was the end of the end. I left the recording studio and went on tour. But I always wanted to be a recording engineer, studio engineer live. And that's really where we've gravitated today. Look at where we are today. We're bringing studio quality sound to the live.
Yeah. I got to see one of your systems actually on the road with Brad Maddox. I shadowed him with Florence and the Machine and got to see it all in work and sound checks and the whole deal. And I was just super impressed. And he had the brand new Avid out at the time. It was, I mean, brand new. I don't think I'd even seen one yet. So we had to play on that. And you know, I just was really impressed at, one, the quality, and two, the speed of your machines, too, to be able to record all of that and play back, like, man, so fast and simultaneously, you know.
Well, so the one benefit to the Avid product is that it is seamless in that regard, Becky, as far as the handshake. Mm-hmm. The we call it the hardware-software handshake. but that does not mean, so we are not platform centric. We really went out of our way to build machines for the Digico product line.
Nice.
Completely. Of course, the Yamaha product line, and then all the under market consoles. I mean, realistically, we our focus was to build machines so that you had something to take into the club that was in the behind the bus in a trailer.
Yeah.
To walk in, do your job, but then have the tools to grow as an engineer, a producer, and be making records for your band and your friends.
And your whole recording package fits in just one rack unit, right? In a Roly rack unit case.
Yeah, depending on the platform. It could be one rack space. As a matter of fact, when the Profile came out, I wanted to build a 64-channel recording system that was in one rack space. That would one U that would fit in a rack for a Profile. And when we showed that to people like Clare Global and other sound in companies, they said, well, we got to have that.
Yeah.
Now we're approaching 256 channels right now on our platforms. So that's hard to keep in one rack space, but we're doing it.
That's amazing.
Yeah. So here's another sense of advice for all you girls.
Yeah.
Don't ever stop learning. Realize this is my 40 something year at this. And the reason that brings me here is learning. It's the excitement of uncovering something new. Mm. It's so much fun. Also, engineering it's boundaryless. The three of us can talk about mixes and music, and there's no boundary between us. It's such a common language as engineers. So, you should know that right here, every Saturday, I bring a lady here to learn how to mix it with me. Now, we're social distancing now, so it's making it a little different.
Mm-hmm.
But both of us want to teach more and more. But we want to teach more in an effective way and in a compelling way. We see so much stuff on the internet, and I don't think it's getting to the heart of how we really get young engineers started in this process. And I'm a hands-on person.
Yeah.
I want to have you right here with me with the same tracks, whoever vocals we've got up here, and then we talk about what is it that we could do. And try those different things that you've always dreamed about trying. Well, it's right here. Let's go.
So is that something that you're offering to people as far as training, you know, to sign up and email and pay some money and go out to your studio and train? Or are you there?
We're headed that way.
Okay.
We're headed that way. But I really lend myself to you girls first. That's first and foremost in my opinion. And here's why. Carrie, we had the last 2 years have been very difficult because we had girls all over the world signed up to watch me mix Ozzy.
Mm-hmm.
So, and he canceled.
Yeah.
I mean, my God, there was a girl that lives in Emeryville that was flying herself to Barcelona So no, I want to tap into that. I feel obligated to fulfill my obligation to carrying you girls first. So is there a dialogue that we could start where maybe we could have a soundgirls.org girl come here? Absolutely. I'd be all for that.
That's awesome.
That's awesome.
Thank you.
Jinx.
Thank you for doing that. I mean, so I've been doing this 21 years, you know, and,
sure.
And not a lot of, haven't run into a lot of women, you know, in the industry coming up, and the ones that I have always reached back to me, and like Carrie and Michelle and, you know, whoever, and they're like, hey, come on, you know, come with me, or hey, I know of a tour. I know a lot of what we do is word of mouth. I also have some amazing brothers in the industry like yourself and, you know, Dave Ratt and a few other people that we've talked to where we've all seen the, you know, there's not a lot of women in this industry or blah, 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 you know, all the stuff. And we've all talked about all those things for years. Like, how can we get more women and how can we do, you know, and I feel like it's changing. And instead of bouncing our head off the glass ceiling, we're starting to break through it, you know, and I think a lot of that is due to people like yourself that have been on the road for 40 years and you're, you know, the other gentleman, Brad, who works with you, he does the same thing and does the Shadow Me Women and has, you know, us guys come out and our girls come out and watch the show and learn from him as well. I know you do that. What are some other ways? I mean, obviously with Diablo, you're allowing people to come in and learn. And you just said you're willing to let the women do that first, and which is amazing.
Sure.
And I'm grateful for that. What are some other ways that you think we can keep moving this needle forward, you know, and keep making it so we're an all-inclusive industry finally?
Yeah, so that's a great question. So I do agree that the glass ceiling has been somewhat broken, and here's why. In all other facets of production, I mentioned that we had an amazingly talented lady video director on Black Sabbath. I mean, unbelievable. I did a small little show with Ryan Adams, and he had a girl lighting designer from Nashville, Tennessee, that was on fire. How good she was.
Nice.
Extremely talented. So, number one, and it's not that I'm a competitive guy, but I've always wanted to be the best. And how do I become the best? Well, I tried in my little simple ways, associating with the best engineers, learning from them, trying to find. So for the girls, I really believe there should be a wider network of women in all facets of production. And that starts with tour managers. Mm-hmm. I mean, Post Malone has an amazing woman tour manager.
Nice.
She does the Guns N' Roses as well. She's amazing. So I would like to see girls network more in that regard. Okay, that's, I think, is really important. It kills me to this day that all of us touring people have no representation. Just kills me.
Yeah.
After 45 years of touring, we're still all on our own. It boggles my mind.
Me too.
That we don't have a single manager or a single focal point. You know, maybe that's not good. I don't know. I could be wrong about all of this. So the second thing, and I know this. We get resumes from girls all the time. But when they walk through that front door, it's a whole different subject. So I think you showing up at the three largest sound companies in the world, you show up at Dave Ratt's doorstep and say, hi, I'm here. I just wanted to meet you. Here's my resume. This is where I want to go. Can you help me? is so, so powerful. Can I tell a quick story?
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. So do we remember Shoko, the company? Shoko?
I remember Shoko well.
Shoko was the second largest, or the, in their mind, the largest sound company, Susan, in the world.
In the world, yep.
They had everybody from Paul McCartney and you name it, right? I had already been engineering and touring for 14 years, and they wouldn't give me a job. They wouldn't even entertain me as a prospect. And I had already done Huey Lewis, and I had already done some Poison. I'd done some pretty good artists back in that time frame. But I started putting myself on an airplane and showing up in Dallas, Texas, annually during the springtime, which is, you know, that's the beginning of our touring season. And mm-hmm. this is when people submit their names for tours. And I kept doing it. And after, oh, I want to say 5 years, they finally gave me a tour. And it wasn't what I wanted to do, because traditionally I was an R&B artist. And they go, we have a tour. It's called Ozzy Osbourne. I go, who? I go, this isn't what I want to do. Look, Greg, we're really in a bind. Their senior most engineer had quit 3 days before the tour. If you do this for us, you know, it's that same old adage, right?
Mm-hmm.
23 years later, I'm still working for Ozzy.
And Shoko no longer exists.
That's correct. Becky, what you just said is so powerful. That's a marker for all of us, girls or boys, of the reality that is the music industry. My brother, drummer in Pablo Cruz, I made 4 albums with them. Their shelf life was like 5 years.
Right.
It was nothing. I went on to make a whole career out of this thing, and they only made 5 albums and done.
Yeah. And so what's the reality is, right? Most bands tour, I don't even know what the stats are, but not very long.
You're really right. So let's get back to it. I've had a lot of girls send me resumes and send me things. Can I come to work for you? Can you da da da? When they walk through the door, we knew right away, oh, that's a girl that we want to see what she can do. And I'm telling you, some of these girls. So Brad and I did a really amazing recording. So I have a stadium show that Brad and I recorded with Earth, Wind, and Fire. Raw tracks. And I teach a thing that's called the static mix. What does that mean? It's a dead cold console. There's nothing on it. You have to spin it up as you will. And I give you a time frame. We have a little challenge that you have to have the song up, spun up, and something going by the first chorus. From a dead start.
Yeah. That'll make you work your chops.
That's really, really, really true. And I'm telling you, some of these girls, you would be blown away at the quality of their mixes. This is what's really going to bring girls to come and take over my spot. It's somebody that can kick my ass.
Yeah.
That's really what we're talking about. And I welcome it. I really do.
Challenge accepted.
It's about time. And I'm so willing to show what I have, what I know. So, you know, we watch how many engineers, and they think they've got some kind of secret snake oil. It's hogwash.
Yeah.
In this age now, any one of us can go toe to toe. It's just all here between the ears, and how we can expand what we see in our minds musically and sound wise and present it on us a pair of rat sound speakers.
Right. Dude, this I have so many questions. I don't even know where to go yet next. Like, I get...
Well, just let's go. I'm ready.
Well, Greg, I am very thankful for you and us having this conversation because a lot of my students, where I teach, we have two main audio tracks that they go through. They have recording arts and they have show production. So they share the first, like, year or so of courses. And then they do their split and move on. And some of my students are dead fast one way or the other. In fact, most of them are. So they're like, I am going to be recording and nothing else. And then the other side is like, I'm going to do live sound and nothing else. And so in the class that I work with, we're like, no, you got to do both. You can do both. And that is completely viable. So I'm so glad that we're having this conversation because I can be like, dude, listen to this guy. He did both for decades and decades and made a career out of it. And they don't understand the value of having all of those skills together, you know?
And Susan, you're so right, because I think this is really a multifaceted arena, if you will, for engineers. And we're not even thinking about video, sound for gaming. Yeah. There are so many things, and I really believe if I had a 20-year-old son that really wanted to become an engineer, which I do have, but he didn't want to work as hard.
I feel that, man. Like, it is hard.
After his third Ozfest, I remember him on the bus going, Pop, how do you do this? I want to go home. No, but so Susan, let's get back to your topic. I would teach my daughter or son that you want to leave your options open.
Yes.
And every one of these disciplines are so rewarding in themselves, whether it's live sound or let's start with the studio first. The studio first, okay? Live sound second. But guess what? Live sound engineers are making studio quality records every day in your home arena.
Yeah.
And guess what? Those live sound engineers, they're kicking your butt in the studio. You know why? Because they're faster. They're more nimble. They know how to communicate with their artists better. They aren't encumbered by the hours and hours and hours that are involved in making a record sometimes.
Yeah.
I would take a live sound engineer over all of the other disciplines every single day because I know that that girl or boy can get the job done. Whether we're talking about making audio for games, a ringtone, sound for a video, post-production, you name it, boom. So also too, why would you want to narrow yourself in an avenue where you could really expand on. So next question. Well, I hope I answered your question.
Thank you. I mean, they don't listen. It's like you don't listen to your parents, but you listen to, someone, your friends or someone else. So I appreciate it because they don't, we talk about that and we push that, but they're not always open to hearing me talk about it. So no, I appreciate you.
I get it. And the last thing I want to do is tell somebody what to do. They have to find their own way.
Yeah.
Because that's what's going to give them the passion to be better than they ever dreamed of being.
So are you still taking tours? Are you still going out on tours? Or are you kind of focusing?
Well, yeah, I had three tours this year.
And so being able to pivot in a time like the COVID crisis and sit in your home studio and mix live albums, you're still working, I assume.
That's right. So let's get back to why we record. So I was on tour with Alice Cooper in the beginning of the year in New Zealand when this thing happened.
Okay.
I barely got out of that country, okay? But while I was in New Zealand, I got a call from Disturbed to tour with them in the European touring cycle this year. So while I was in New Zealand, I had them send our office the Pro Tools file from their last year's touring cycle. So when I came home, the first thing I did was start building my mix right here in our studio, so that when I went to the first show of production, I've already got a mix up. And oh, by the way, I'm going to send that mix ahead of time to the lead singer and the manager so that they can listen to it and get an idea. Am I going in the right direction? I already had a telephone conversation with band members about my mindset, about where I want to bring that band.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
These things could not be done without this.
Yeah.
So yes, of course I have a wonderful machine to play with, but before I had this, I was bothering my local sound companies for console time in their sound, in their warehouses. So that means I would call up the local sound company and I go, hey, I want to use your profile today. Can I get an all day on the profile? Sure. What do you want to do? I said, well, I have some work to do. Okay. Show up with my headphones. And there I am with Pro Tools or with Uendo or with Reaper or whatever it is you use, plugged in, got the headphones on, not bothering anybody else, and I'm building a mix free of charge. It was just me showing up at their shop. And you could do the same thing at a recording studio.
Yeah, a lot of people have been especially open lately for opening their shops so that you could come in and, like, just learn. There's a local company here that we've worked with a little bit that has video equipment. And so they just were like, hey, you want to learn how to do video engineering? Come on in, because we're open for you.
Oh, that's really great. And I'm glad to hear that people are doing that, because that's really important. And so that's my workflow. I don't want to go out and face a band without doing my homework.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely.
So I am constantly working on stuff, old mixes. You know, I went out and mixed a few shows for Brad on Florence. Mm-hmm. Not my genre of music. I'm known as a metal engineer.
Right.
So how in the heck are you going to give me Florence and the Machine? Well, guess Brad gave me the Pro Tools files.
Yeah.
And I mixed the show for about a week.
And she has some challenging stuff. She's out in the audience
Yes. So I'm in a week. He shows up. He goes, let me see what you got. And we ran the show top to bottom. And he goes, you're ready to go.
That's awesome.
Man, that's great. I'm hoping that's one of the things that comes out of all the COVID stuff too, you know, that our industry continues to train more people and just be giving, you know, give your resources away a little bit more and not be so stingy with it, you know?
So for instance, let's say I have a tour that I cannot do and I call you, Becky, to come and do it. Mm-hmm. Well, you're going to come here and you're going to sit with me with the show to do it. And then I may go out to the first show and stand behind you as you work.
I would,
but that's
the
workflow. That's how we are going to do this. And I think technology is going to bridge this gap between men and women, because I want to use the technology to give the power to the girls, to show them that they can do this and that they're not going into a stack of Dave Rat PA three stories high and be scared to death. No, they're already prepared. They've already played their mixes in front of a set of speakers at the shop.
I absolutely love that. I love you guys' vision. And, man, we appreciate you at Sound Girls. And
yeah, so much.
Thanks.
Are we running out of time?
We are. Can you tell I'm wrapping it up? I could talk to you all day, Greg. Maybe we'll do a part two.
We should do this again, because I don't think we even got to three of your questions.
I don't think we did, but that's all right. You know, we got
it's cool. We've got content we need to build up. So
yeah, we'll keep recording and we'll definitely have you back. And we're going to interview your coworker, Brad, here also, mm-hmm. and learn more about Diablo Digital and how you guys are helping all of us become better sound humans.
Great.
Thank you so much, Greg.
Thank you so much. Bye.
Hey, we have something exciting to tell you all about. The Sound Girls annual scholarships are now open and will close July 31st for applications. So get your applications in. You only have till the end of July. There is two $500 scholarships in honor of Ethel Gabriel. Sound Girls will be awarding these two $500 scholarships to members pursuing a career in the recording arts. These scholarships will be awarded in August and can be used for educational training and university programs. The scholarships are open to all members of Sound Girls, including international students. There are also four $250 scholarships open to any member of Sound Girls that is attending or plans to attend an educational program in professional audio. There's no age requirement and includes college programs, trade schools, seminars, and workshops. These applications are open to all gender and non-conforming genders. They will be awarded in August and are open for applications right now until the end of July 31st. So get those apps in. Go to soundgirls.org to find out more about these scholarships. Soundgirls.org. Thank you all for listening to the Sound Girls podcast, Resonating Beyond Sound. We'll catch you next week when we talk to another amazing sound human. Have a great week, all.